turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 12. Let's just start here at verse 1, and we will kind of catch our next lesson. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I trust that the Lord just kind of help us to bring this out tonight. But the things that Jesus suffered the scripture says it was the joy that was set before him. So he looked at the reward that he was getting, and it was a joy for him to go to the cross, amen, on behalf of the reward that he was getting. And we are his reward. When we serve the Lord, the things that he asks us to do and the things he asks us not to do, it ought to be a joy for us to do it, as well as a joy for us not to do it, because we understand the reward that is sitting before us, right? Heaven is that great reward. Eternal life is that great reward. So we ought to look at it that way. Let's go forward here. Verse 2 again, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction, sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. I like that. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There's a lot here that brings correction to us. We talked about holiness, holiness without no man, which is to see the Lord. We'll get to that scripture in a little bit. Talked about making straight paths with your feet. There's a lot here where we get rebuked, amen. But here Paul tells us, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now this is important. In order for us to be holy, there are some things that's got to be shaved off in our life, right? And he uses his word in order to shave those things off. So we thank God for the chastening. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without. Now this is important. If they used to preach this real hard, you know, when I was coming up, the Pentecostal church, holiness without, no man see the Lord. And when they used to preach it so hard, you wanted to line up. If you want to go to heaven, you was gonna line up with that. It might not be preached as hard as it was years ago, but it's still the truth, right? And holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. You know, you can come to church and not be holy. You can go a lot of places and not be holy. But if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to be holy. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. If you want to go to heaven, it's got to be holiness. Because holiness without no man shall see the Lord. That's the Bible. Amen. I mean, we this right here in your Bible. So we want to make sure we get this thing very clear tonight. Now, we're going to go a little further here in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The last 2 weeks, the Lord been dealing with that root of bitterness. You can't allow that to rise up in your heart. Don't allow that, because that's something that you'll miss heaven over something like that, right? You don't need that. So, don't allow that. If you feel it getting there, like last week, Brother Branham said, take that grub hoe and get it out of there. That way, he said, not get it out, he said, get it out, pile it up, and then burn it up. Glory to God. Amen. Because you don't want that thing to start growing again. You leave a root in there and water hit it, it can start growing again. Praise the Lord. But you got to get the root out. Amen. No roots of bitterness. He says, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now look at this, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now this is where we want to focus tonight. Verse 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Now we have to just say what the scripture says. Amen. Amen. Just say what the scripture says. And now there's two things that we're going to look at here. And there's a physical or natural fornication. And then there's also a spiritual fornication. And we'll get to the point where we'll spiritualize it. But we need to talk about the natural part. Amen. Fornication is something that's absolutely wrong. And if you're not familiar with that, that's having sexual relations and not being married. Amen. We're going to read something about fornication. This is just something I think we need to just kind of dwell on. And I'm glad it's just right here in our Bible. Brother Jack didn't go out of his way to say these things. I'm just saying what's in the Bible study. Praise the Lord. Amen. My job is to teach the word of God. But fornication is wrong. Amen. Fornication is absolutely wrong. Amen. And as saints, we still got to take a stand for what's right. Amen. You fornicating is wrong. Praise the Lord. That's against the word of God. And I'm going to show you in scripture, if you fornicate, because we want to show grace and everything to people, but you can make a mistake, we'll show you grace. But you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, there's going to be consequences for that. Right. Let's just be honest, right? Fornicators won't go to heaven. Amen. Let's read it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Fornicators don't go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to get control over your flesh. Amen. Rather than, you got a couple options. You fornicate with somebody like that, I can't advise you to get married to everybody, because unbelieving and a believer shouldn't be married. You got double wrongs all over the place. Amen. Unbelievers and believers, not Brother Branham say, under no circumstances should a believer marry an unbeliever. And somebody said, well, Brother Jack, what about this? Okay, what part of under no circumstances do we not understand? Under no circumstances should a believer marry an unbeliever. Amen. I mean, I discourage unbelievers and believers from being together. I discourage that. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pick this up in 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start at verse 13. But fornication is something that, it's not acceptable. Amen. Fornication leads to children being born out of wedlock. And do you know when children are born out of wedlock, according to Old Testament scripture, you know how bad that was? According to Old Testament scripture, that child and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren. I mean, think about it. The grandchild did nothing wrong. Great-grandchild did nothing wrong. Great-great-grandchild did nothing wrong. But because their great-great-grandma did something, they can't go to church. That's how bad a child being born out of wedlock was. They couldn't go to church for 10 generations. 10. Church, that's something that we need to think about. And, you know, I know for me, I like to, you know, just sit down and talk to people about these things because, you know, if you don't tell them, they might repeat the same mistake. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for grace, but don't make grace a disgrace. Praise the Lord. Amen. The grace of God actually allows us to come to church now. But there was a time in the history of this world that a child born out of wedlock could not come to church. Not only they couldn't come, their children couldn't come. Their grandchildren couldn't come. They had to be weeded out over 10 generations. Can you imagine that? Church, that's serious business. Don't take God's grace for granted. We have to teach these things because it keeps us, you know, in line and make sure we're living like the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 12, that we'll be partakers of his holiness. Amen. God wants us to be partakers of it. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got to go back a little further. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Oh my Jesus. Lord help us, God. So, just so do you know, effeminate, that's homosexuality. No heaven. Praise God. Now, folk don't like hearing that nowadays. That's why they take these scriptures out of the Bible. But when you live in like this, and I'm not just picking on homosexuals. I'm reading about everybody. If you're a fornicator, no heaven. If you're an idolater, no heaven. If you're an adulterer, no heaven. If you're a homosexual, no heaven. Amen. Right? If you're an abuser of yourself with mankind, no heaven. Right? Anything that is unrighteous and not, let's put it this way. If it's unrighteous in God's sight, not your sight. Not your sight. You don't make the rules. You just follow them. But if it's unrighteous in God's sight, there is no heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know nowadays churches do not teach these things, but it's in the Bible. Amen. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. You're a thief, no heaven. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this, verse 11. And such were some of you. Oh, my. Thank God. Thank God. This is what real grace does. Amen. Because you can look at that and say, yeah, I was guilty of some of this stuff right here. But, and Paul said, and such were some of you. Yeah, you used to be that way. But something changed. Glory to God. And you know what changed? It tells you right here in the next part of the verse. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified, and justified means just as if you never did in the first place. Now, you can't be justified and still out there doing the same old thing you used to be doing. Amen. Amen. Something got to change. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, if glory, hallelujah. You know, some people, what they'll do is like, I'd just rather get married than be single. And they'll marry an unbeliever. You're going to pay for it. Now, you already made one mistake. You can make more if you want to. You'll pay for each one. What a man sow, he's going to reap. All right. Listen. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, that unclean living. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? And that can be looked at in many different ways. Amen. Paul is certainly speaking about it in a physical way here, right? Keep yourself. Glory to God. You keep yourself until God give you somebody. Amen. Listen, it says, God forbid. Verse 16, what know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body, but two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I love this. I remember Brother Hugo preached this one time. He says, it's one sin in the Bible that God actually tell you to run from. You don't sit around and play with this one. You actually run. You get up out of there as fast as you can and get out of that situation. Flee fornication. Run from it. I'm going to try to win them. Actually, they've already won you. And that's why you keep laying in that bed. You ain't married to them. You lay in that bed. Flee fornication. Praise the Lord, church. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Paul got some more to say. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. And since you've been purchased, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So fornication is a very dangerous sin. Amen. And like I told you, you know, it leads to a lot of other things that just absolutely displease God. Displeases God. It puts you in a very, very compromising position. That's why you need to run from that one. Don't put yourself there. I know many of people, male and female, that have gotten in a situation and then they end up having to compromise somewhere down the road. If a young man end up marrying a lady that is not a believer, it's going to be trouble for years. A young lady marry a guy that's not a believer, trouble for years. Brother Branham says it's going to take the grace of God to keep that family together. Amen. If people don't know, every marriage has its problems, has its struggles, has its challenges. And if you're going to go into marriage not marrying a believer, you just added so many more layers of problems on top of what you already had. I just do what God tell you to do according to his word. It'll work out just fine. Amen. I want to go on and read a couple things here. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. Verse 16 says, lest there be any fornicator. Now this is something. Paul is actually identifying Esau in the same manner. I mean, fornicator or profane person. As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Paul is bringing these two things together. He's putting Esau on the same level as a fornicator or a profane person. And according to Brother Branham, we'll read in the quotes, Esau would have been the guy. If you had to choose out of him and Jacob, you say, man, Esau is the man. But there was something in Esau's heart that God saw that wasn't right. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a couple things here. Esau sold out his birthright for a morsel of meat, a morsel of meat. Now look at something that the prophet says here. Let's go to slide 13, please. I don't want you there. Just hit next for me. It says, listen, it's not him that wants to get saved that's saved. It's him that's saved by God's choice. Esau wanted to get saved too. He wept bitterly and couldn't find no place to repent. He wanted to get saved. It ain't because you want to get saved. God said, I've hardened who I will harden. I have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. That's right. He said, before Esau or Jacob either was born, not knowing right and wrong, God said, I love Jacob and hate Esau. And Esau tried to get right with God and couldn't. Now, don't let this be your situation. Let me finish reading this and I'll tell you something. Esau tried to get right with God and couldn't. Pharaoh tried to get right with God and couldn't do it. So it's not you, not what you want. It's what God has ordained for you to do. That's right. There was a time Brother Branham was having some meetings and there were some young people came to the altar. Man, they were crying out to God, trying to get right with God. But Brother Branham said they had crossed the line. He says, all that crying, all that screaming, hollering, and everything else, God did not accept it because they had crossed the line. Now, don't let that be your testimony, right? God will speak to you in his grace. Many times the Holy Spirit will condemn you of things, and you can hear his voice, but yet you go right on and keep doing it anyway. And then he'll come right here in the pulpit. I mean, the other week, I saw something happen here when Brother Quick, who spoke that week. It was so perfect the way the Lord used him. And we know Brother Kwaku don't usually preach like that, right? But he come in here and the way he went down and start showing all these things there and all the research that he did, and he just come and present that to the church. And we turn and just kind of look at that. Oh, that ain't for me. Don't get to the point where you cross that line with God. God will send a minister to try to prick your heart. God will allow a lesson like this to come up to try to prick your heart. God is just trying to reach you in love in every way he possibly can. Don't get to the point where you be done crossing the line. Don't do that. Now, I want to share some quotes with you tonight. Amen. Let's go here to this first quote. God keeps his word. Now, remember Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. Let's read this. God keeps his word. It says, and Ahab put that fellow in prison. Shut up all these meetings anyhow. We don't want no more of these holy roller acts around here. Don't worry, it's coming. Put him in jail and give him the bread of sorrow and the water of sorrow. And when I return in peace, I'll deal with him. In other words, have his head chopped off. This is what he's talking about. This is what he means with Micaiah. Oh, Micaiah, standing on the word of God, knowing his vision. Oh, God, knowing that his vision was exactly with the word of God. It could not fail. He said, if you return at all in peace, God hasn't spoke to me. Amen, amen. Oh, people, the hour is late. But I want to say this to you, my dear friends. Don't you never listen to a program that tells you this isn't the word of God and the truth. Don't you never listen to any fantastics that is not put forth and predicted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he came himself and healed the sick, he only did it that the word might be fulfilled. Only to fulfill the word. He predicted both for the all types, churches, and the Revelations of 17. He said, I saw a woman, a whore, sitting upon a great scarlet clothed beast on seven heads. The Vatican is on seven hills. I just left there a few months ago and said she was a mother of harlots. The daughters that were born from her, talking about denominational churches. And he goes on here, he says, any bad woman can bring forth a good daughter. But watch, what is a harlot, a prostitute? What is these ill-famed women? It's women who commit adultery and live with other men that's not their husband. Now, so he says, ill-famed woman is women who commit adultery and live with other men that's not their husband. Now, I want to go. Let's. I'm gonna read this. Let's catch this. It's women who commit adultery live with other men that's not their husband. And these people, these churches, claim to be God's servants and God's church and tolerate and do the things of the world. They commit spiritual fornication. I want us to make sure we got that. When we do things of the world, not things of God, and let me just make it real clear. Toenail polish and fingernail polish that come from the world, that don't come from God. When we do things like that, we're committing spiritual fornication. Amen. The sisters, you let that hill get too high, you're doing things of the world. Amen. You committing spiritual fornication. Praise the Lord. Brothers, you want to slip out and take a drink, things of the world, you're committing spiritual fornication. A little puff, things of the world, you're committing spiritual fornication. Anything that God has not approved in his word is something of the world, and you're committing spiritual fornication. I just read to you that adulterers will not go to heaven. Not just physical adultery, spiritual adultery. Praise the Lord. We all have to come in line with thus saith the Lord as it's written in this word. And God sent us a prophet to bring us back to this word. The rest of the church world may get away with it, but not us. That's not what we want to do. That should not even be our desire. That's why I said earlier, you know, if Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, we got to have joy in the things that God say do and the things God say don't do. We still got to have joy. We should not walk around sad because we can't put on fingernail polish. I mean, think about it. If you missed a rapture over fingernail polish, man, you'd be pretty upset with the devil. I mean, fingernail polish was all it took to get you to miss heaven. High heels, that's all it took to get you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the problem, you know, like we look at things like stilettos, and we know that. Come on, everybody in here know ain't no way you should be wearing nothing like that. But just go back to the pictures that brother Quick who put up there for us. Let God deal with your heart. Once one person lets up a little bit, watch out, just start affecting somebody else. If you start with a 1 inch, somebody else coming with 2. And as soon as somebody come with 2, watch somebody else going to 3. Just watch. That's just the way. That's why you got to do everything. Lord, I don't even want to lead nobody down this path. I don't want to lead nobody down this path. I want to go the opposite direction. Praise the Lord. That's how we keep the church clean. Amen, church. Let me put it this way, and I think it's going to hit in this quote in a little bit too. Esau, for one morsel of bread, sold his birthright. Now we'll read the scripture. I might not have time to read tonight, but it was lentils. Any of y'all ever had lentils before? That's one of the least expensive dishes that you can prepare, but it's very filling. Amen. You can stretch that. You can stretch them lentils. Very filling, but it's cheap. Amen. I've eaten lentils before, and when I eat it and I think of Esau, I say, man, you sold out your birthright for this. Not for filet mignon. Lobster tail, you know, I mean, lentils. He sold his birthright. And the sad part about it, we can look at that and laugh at Esau, but we selling our birthright for a lot less. Fingernail polish, toenail polish, high heel. Brothers want to wear shorts. See them in, you know, look, now, I mean, it used to be a time, I don't know, the quotes are still there. Brother Branham saying a man wears shorts is a part of the big sissy society. Anybody read that quote before? It's there. But now I see brothers, you know, that's why a spirit get on you. You're working out. And, well, I can't work out in these long pants. I need shorts. Don't you think you crossed the line somewhere? Maybe you don't need to work out no more. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you can't play basketball in long pants. Maybe you, if you struggle, just don't go play basketball. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're trying to network at happy hour, and next thing you know, you got some happy hour. Lord, forgive me. No, y'all. Holiness without no man gonna see God. Amen, church. Esau sold out for a morsel of bread, lentils. We selling out for a lot less. A lot less. Let's keep reading. Back in the day, you come to church inappropriate if you want to. There'd be people there waiting on you. If you had on a skirt that was too short, you're going to get a sheet or even some brother's coat. You came in looking cute, but boy, you, by the time you leave, it ain't going to be looking that cute. They have you dressed in all kind of stuff to make sure that you was looking presentable. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Africa, they kick the sisters out of the church that have the high heels. The pastor have the deacon at the front door saying, they can't come in here. They can't come in here looking like that. Send them back home. They might have walked to church. Now, I can tell you they didn't walk in them high heels to get to church because you typically can't walk in them. You have to wait till you get to a certain spot. Now, I'm going to put them on. And then you can't wait to get them off once you get them on. Praise the Lord. And they only to appease other people. It's not to appease God. It's only you want somebody to say something nice about you. Oh, that look, we'll take it from a brother or a sister. That look nice. You just want somebody to say something nice about you. That's not to appease God. We want God to say something nice about us. We want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. We want God to be pleased, not what man said. See, I mean, you know, but I remember back in the day, they would, you know, there are certain things. If you had toenail polish, okay, they have something to clear it up in the back room to help you with it. Praise the Lord. That's the way it used to be. Amen. That's the way it used to be. Sometimes you want to go right back to that. Keep the church clean. Amen. Keep it clean. Hey, glory to God. We shouldn't struggle with that. That's just part of sanctification. We shouldn't struggle with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going. If God wanted you to have it, you would have been born with it. Amen. But he just gave you a natural hit. He gave you the best thing. He could give you the natural color. So keep that. Listen. So he says, these churches claim to be God's servants in God's church and tolerate and do the things of the world. They commit spiritual fornication. They let their congregations paint. So makeup is spiritual fornication. And you're an adulterer, and adulterers will not go to heaven. Makeup. But that's hard, ain't it? It's the truth anyhow. They let their congregations paint. And you know Brother Branham ain't talking about not getting no roll out and painting the wall. You already know that. No, they let their congregations paint. That's makeup. Amen. Hallelujah. And I addressed that even in the questions and answers, because it's one quote. One. Out of the thousands of messages that the prophet preached, he got one quote that said, you know, if you colorless, you might want to put on something. And I'm looking at you. You're not colorless. So what it is, like, I got a little blemish and I'm trying to hide that blemish. You know, sometimes it's the blemish that makes the masterpiece. We got to see it that way. It's the blemish that makes me a masterpiece. Hallelujah. Glory to God. they won't love you for the way you are. You're going to be having to put on you got to put on a front for the rest of your life. They tell the joke about the lady that she had different hair, makeup, she had all this, and we got married. She got ready for bed. She don't wear all that stuff to bed. She don't wear the makeup to bed. She don't wear the hair. She don't the wig. She ain't wearing all that to bed. Now he see the real lady. Said, I didn't know you looked like this. See, if he's not gonna love you for who you are, don't try to trick him. Don't do it. Don't trick him. Because you might get tricked. He be done left. Amen. Make them love you for who you are. Praise the Lord. This is me. Amen. All right. I'm going to keep reading here. Let's see. Where am I? He says they let them go out and dress like the world. No. They let their congregations paint. Their women wear shorts. And I when I was reading it, I said, now, Lord, I don't believe nobody, no sister in the church that wears shorts. I don't believe. Just be caught out there in shorts. I don't believe that will happen, God. Not Holy Ghost sanctified people. But the prophet ain't saying it's just for nothing. If it's, if it's bad enough for a brother to be out there. And sisters, no. Uh-uh. No. No. Got to watch what we do. We got to watch how we present ourselves. Amen. Even when you go into the gym, you got to watch how you present yourself. Praise the Lord. Y'all know, I'm just talking about me when I was coming up. Maybe they did it, I just didn't see it. But even when it was cold, they didn't wear them pants. They didn't do that. Now it get cold, so boy, just let it go to 50. Be 50 for 5 minutes. Sisters want to put them things on, and come down and look like they're wearing pants. They would hide that type of stuff. It wasn't something so everybody could see. It was just, if I had it, I'm going to roll it up real good so don't nobody know I got this on. I'm trying to, that's the way they did it. Now just everything's exposed. Praise the Lord. And it done got so bad till I said, it's not even cold. It's not cold and you got that on in the house of the Lord. That them pants, sis. Even though you got a dress over the top of it, them pants still. Amen. You need some modesty. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to tell you go out there and freeze. But be modest about what you're doing. Is that all right? They let their congregations paint. Their women wear shorts. And they let them go out and dress like the world and never condemn it. Oh, that ain't going to happen at this church. They let the men smoke a social cigarette and take a drink of liquor. Oh, brother, you got to do what you got to do. You just networking. No, you don't. Amen. Stay out of environments that's going to put you in a position where you got to compromise. Here you done picked up some drink, they got something in it, and as soon as you taste it, you ought to put it down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now you know not to go back to the restaurant and order that drink no more. Some drinks, that looked good. The brother was telling me he ordered a drink, he didn't know what it was. But when the glass came, it had all kind of frosting on the top. That's a telltale sign. Something wrong with this drink right here. But he didn't know. He just, what's all this frosting? He took a drink. He said he had his communion right there at the restaurant. He needed to go back to church and have communion because that was the real stuff. pull that stuff out and don't ask for no, bring me another one. Amen, church. We gotta have some conviction. They let the men smoke a social cigarette and take a drink of liquor. They let them have their little card parties and play pool in the basement. And look at this one. And have the proms and dances in the church. Now, I just thought about that too. Saints, we shouldn't be going to no prom. We Christians, we don't go to proms. We don't go to dances. We just don't do those things. And y'all just taking all my fun. You got to question what you consider fun, right? That's not, we Holy Ghost filled Christians, we not even supposed to desire stuff like that. Amen. I can't see Jesus wanting to hang out in places like that. Unless he's going to shut it down. Brother Branham, when he was at the dance, he shut it down. The lady invited him out there to dance. He said, no, just leave me alone. No, come on, you got to have some fun. She said, no. Okay. She led him out to the middle of the floor. He said, okay, before I dance, I got one thing I do before I do anything. She said, what? And he grabbed both her hands and pulled her down. He said, I pray. And when he pulled her down, the DJ looked at him in the middle of the floor praying, and he just stopped his music, packed up his stuff, and said, I'm out of here. Shut the party down. If you can do that and get somebody saved, praise the Lord. But most of us not going to do that. Amen. Stay out of environments like that. They let them have their little card parties, play pool in the basement, have the proms and dances in the church. And you got to read in between the lines. He's not just saying this because they're doing the church. This is wrong outside the church too. Amen. And soup suppers and every other thing, and teach their little petty theology instead of the word of the living God. You know that's the truth. Notice it's earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Notice how from the beginning Satan has been so close. Now, a lot of people say today, oh, Brother Branham, don't you think that the communism is awful? Yes, it's awful, but that's not the Antichrist. No, sir. Jesus said the Antichrist would be so close like the real, it would deceive the very elect if possible. It's religious people. That's where it comes in. Now, let's go back to the beginning, way back. Go back in the Garden of Eden. Even we could go before that, but let's take the first two boys that was born on this earth. Cain first, really, he was supposed to have the birthright, but lost it, just as Esau was, just as the first church of the mother church, as you want to call it, all the way through, lost the birthright. So Brother Random is even taking us back before Esau and Jacob, and showing us how Cain had the birthright and lost it. Amen. You can look at it just, you know, all through scripture. He's even using here the first church or the mother church, if you want to call it. Even we saw in the crossing of the hands, amen, of Jacob crossing the hands and praying for Joseph's two boys, that the blessing passed over to the Gentiles. You know, so we see all those things according to scripture. But I want to bring it down to the individual level. Don't sell out your birthright for something so simple to the devil. Let's keep going. There's questions and answers. I noticed what he did, what this fellow did. Esau went out and tried to take care of his poor old blind daddy, and Jacob seemingly he didn't care what happened to him. But there's one thing Jacob wanted, and that was the birthright. Regardless of what come, how he had to get it, what level he had to come on, that birthright was all he cared for. And Esau, the Bible said, despised his birthright. The Bible said that, and the Bible said, except there come some vain fornicator among you, like that evil person Esau, who despised his birthright and sold it for a mess of pottage. Now, what is a birthright? It's the right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This Holy Spirit is your birthright. That's your birthright. That's your God-given right. Now, people would say today, I will go to church. I'm just as good as the next fella, but me act like one of them holy rollers? Or maybe they might not call them holy rollers, but I'm young. I don't want to act like I'm, you know, I'm not old. You can dress that way because you're older. I dress that way because I'm holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, he said the Holy Spirit is your birthright. That's your birthright. That's your God-given right. Now, people would say, I would go to church. I'm just as good as the next fellow. But me act like one of them holy rollers, not me. Well, you Esau. What do you call it? You Esau. And that's not a compliment. Don't sell out your birthright. Don't sell out the Holy Ghost. Don't sell out God for something so simple. See, it's just the same thing, despising the birthright. Why he swapped it for a mess of pottage and you'll sell it. Now, I don't say you, but the world sells it for a lot less than that. He goes on, Esau was hungry. But you see, if goodness would be counted, if we walked up there and stayed around the tent for a few days, we'd find out that Esau, we'd have picked Esau. See, but in his heart, he wanted that. He didn't care about anything else. He wanted that birthright. That's all he wanted. And Esau wanted to be a nice fellow, take care of everything and do everything just right and make everything. He was a real good legalist. Esau was. He wanted everything just right. Jacob wanted one thing, and that was the birthright. And that's all he cared about. And Esau, you see what happened to both boys? See, and even out of Jacob come the 12 patriarchs, which brought forth, well, the 12 tribes of Israel out of Jacob. And he called, and God called Jacob his own son. Do you see what I mean? The Holy Ghost ought to be more important to you than everything else in the world. Your prestige, your life, your job, your anything that there is, you should not cease until you have it. You must receive it. It must be, and you say, well, I'm afraid that my work, I'm afraid that my husband, don't be afraid. Let that be first place. Let everything else go. Let that be first. Well, I expect to get it one of these days, Brother Branham, not one of these days, now. This is the time. Let it be first before I do anything else. Let me have it now. Desperate. That would help answer our question. When you get desperate for it, really got to have it or die, see, then is when you're going to get it. Now, the Bible said that lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I just want to read a definition here for that profane, just something that I have out of my Bible. Profane person says, this profanity involves more than one speech. That's not what it's talking about, just one speech. And we know saints don't use profanity. Amen. Saints don't use profanity. Your mouth ain't sanctified. We need to get back to the altar. Amen. You're about to do what? No, saints don't use that type of language. Profane person, this profanity in the Greek is called bebelos, involves more than one speech. It's a quality of one. See this quality exemplified in Esau, even though Esau was not a vile man. In fact, he was less of a crook than his brother Jacob. But the author accurately focuses on one area that revealed Esau as profane, and that's the selling of his birthright, right? To profane is to regard something as unhallowed, to treat something sacred as common. So to profane is to regard something as unhallowed and to treat something sacred as common. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's sacred. You know, if you were to go to Rome, to the Vatican, they consider that a very sacred place. You can't dress any kind of way coming into the Vatican. If you were to go to even a Muslim temple, some of the most revered Muslim temples, you can't dress any kind of way coming there. They'll have you put on a whole sheet before you walk in there because they consider it sacred. if they make you do that in places that we know not even God, not even dealing with them, how are you going to treat the temple of the Holy Ghost? It ought to be covered. It ought to be presented properly. You have something, amen, that's valuable. And don't, like Muhammad Ali told his daughter, they say they come in there dressed all skimpy and looking, you know, tight this, tight that. And my God, Muhammad Ali said, you know what? He said, the valuable things you have to dig deep to find. If you're looking for a pearl, you got to dig deep to get it, right? Diamonds, you got to dig deep in the earth and get it. See, and when you got something of value, you make it very difficult to get to. So when you see yourself as valuable, don't make yourself so easy. Don't present yourself cheap if you're valuable. Don't present yourself cheap. Esau was totally concerned with his temporary and material needs. Esau was totally concerned with his temporary and material needs. Esau gave them priority over his rights as the firstborn son and his responsibilities as heir to the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. The result in Esau's life was that afterward, when he wanted the blessing, he was rejected. He repented with tears, but the situation was irrevocable. Now, I won't have time to read all of this, but Genesis 25, verse 21 through 34, talks about Esau selling out his birthright. And then Genesis 27, verse 30 through 41 is where he was denied the blessing. Let me just read a couple more quotes, and we'll close for tonight. This is not a message of divine healing. Look at God. Before there even was an atom in the air, before there was anything, nothing but God everywhere. He filled all space and all time. Said, let there be, and it was. This world that we live on is just one of God's words speaking out and materialized. Now, if you're a part of him, you have to believe that. But if you don't believe it, it shows you never become a part of him. Listen, it's not him that wants to get saved that's saved. It's him that's saved by God's choice. Esau wanted to get saved too. He wept bitterly, couldn't find no place to repent. You want to get saved. It ain't because you want to get saved. God said, I've hardened who I will harden. I have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. That's right. He said, before Esau or Jacob, either was born not knowing right or right and wrong. God said, I love Jacob and hate Esau. Esau tried to get right with God and couldn't. Pharaoh tried to get right with God and couldn't do it. So it's not you, not what you want. It's not what you want. It's what God has ordained for you to do. That's right. Paul said in the 9th chapter of Romans there, hasn't the potter got power over the clay to make an honored vessel or a dishonored vessel to show his glory to those who he has honored? You didn't know that, did you? That's what the scripture says. Pharaoh tried his best to repent. He was kind-hearted. He said, sure, I'll let you go. Go on. God said, no, you ain't. I'm going to harden his heart so you can't do it. Because God's word has to be fulfilled. And if we're living in this day when formalities and things has broken the church down, broke away, why is God's word being fulfilled? As sure as God said, these signs would follow them that believe. As sure as God said, these churches would be like they are now. God also said this opposition would meet it. So the same God that ordained signs and wonders ordained that these should be persecuting against it. So there you are. If you're on the other side, I feel sorry, and I want you not to be that way, but maybe you can't help it. See, God might have fixed it that way. And let's just go on. We'll finish here with this last quote out of Hear Ye Him. But I want to approach this tonight from just a little different standpoint. Now, Jesus meets with men in great circles of many, one time with 500 brethren, once with 70, with 12, with 3, and even with 1. That's what makes him so divine. That's what makes him the infinite God to me, is because that he does things in such a simple way that our little finite mind cannot comprehend it. His ways are beyond us. They're past our understanding. And to think that he would come down from heaven to visit one poor lost sinner is more than I can understand. How did he ever come down to take on the form of sinful flesh to die to save sinners? Why was he so interested in our healing that he was stripped and wounded by the Roman lash, that through his stripes and suffering, that we who suffer might be delivered. It's more than a little finite mind can catch. Men who all ages has tried to explain that great love of God is just as fathomless as the skies is. There's no way to ever try to wear any man to take upon himself to explain the depths of the love of God. For God is love, his very being is love, he's a fountain of love, and then to think that he would bring himself down, this is really important here, he's talking about the love of God, to think that he would bring himself down, would talk to an individual, would save an individual, that would heal his enemy who was against him, who had done everything against him and blasphemed his name, and yet he was willing to come down and to make this atonement, to make it so that we could receive it. And then there's one thing that startled my thinking is, how could a mortal being ever turn down and reject such divine love? When you know you're eternity bound and you've got to spend that time somewhere, and when all preparations has been made for your good pleasure and your eternal life, and then to cast it aside for just a little pleasure of this mortal life. You're casting aside eternal life just for a little pleasure, just for a little paint. I'm casting aside eternal life. It's not worth it. See, then you would complain about Esau selling his birthright. We are way beyond Esau in the way we sell our heritage for less than what Esau got. And that's something. Esau even got something to eat. But some of the stuff that we're selling out for, can't even eat it. Get nothing out of it. All we get is to see some other human being pleased, but not God. Church, I tell you, don't be like Esau. Don't be profane. Don't be a fornicator. Don't be an adulterer when it comes to the word of God. Follow with everything you got. Amen. Follow with everything you got. If God say no, find joy in his no's, just like you find joy in his yeses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the ability to just kind of go through scripture and have our hearts challenged. It's very easy in the world in which we live to be compromisers, to not have any conviction. But thank you, Lord, that the word of God would challenge us and let us rise in our level of conviction that we, oh God, would not allow the enemy any space. When we give the devil an inch, he'll take a foot. We give him a foot, he'll take a yard. Lord, that's why we just, the Bible tells us, don't give space to the devil. So, Lord, please don't let us do it. Don't let us compromise. We don't want to miss the rapture. We don't want to come this far and miss it. So, Lord, help us, God, to turn our attention towards you. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Even at the very beginning of the scripture, Paul says, lay aside every sin and every weight. Sometimes we have things in our life that they're weights, they must be laid aside. And some things are even sin that must be laid aside. It's not us just praying and asking you to deliver us from it, but God, we got to lay it aside. We're the ones that picked it up. Now we're the ones that's got to put it down and lay it aside. Give us victory, Father, in our lives every day, that we would walk holy before you, and we live holy before you. We never know when you're going to call us. We never know when, Lord, it might be our last day here, so we want to be ready at all times. Help us to have that conviction, Father. Thank you for speaking to us in your loving kindness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.